CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, and Victor Davis Hanson is kind to speak to me about the dislocation in California between the coastal people who are unhappy with having lost a seat and also unhappy with the recall of Gavin Newsom, the governor who is so indifferent to the people who live in the interior that he goes to restaurants, famous rich restaurants, and is ignoring the people who can't go to restaurants. It's very odd. But then again, it's California. So let's go overseas, Victor, because we're watching the Biden administration disentangle itself from Afghanistan, back away from the troubles of the Gulf by making what you'd have to say overtures of comity with Tehran, a predator state. And now we have turmoil in Israel, which was enjoying this great celebration of the Abraham Accords. But I'm told that that is no longer a focus of the Biden administration. How do you measure this odd business of Afghanistan? There are flames everywhere in Afghanistan right now as the U.S. is withdrawing troops. There are flames everywhere in Israel right now as the U.S. is turned toward Iran. Are these separate events or are they pooled together, Victor, in your opinion?
No, I wish they were separate. They're not. It shows you when the United States is no longer a friend to its friends and an enemy to its enemies, and it's no longer kind of volatile but careful and selective. And by that I mean if there's Soviet mercenaries that are attacking Americans, they're going to die in Syria under Trump, but we're not going to go into Syria. If you want to bomb the blank out of ISIS and get rid of it, we'll do that. If Soleimani is the architect of terrorism in the Middle East, then we're going to take him out, but we're not going to go in there and occupy and try to nation build. But nevertheless, the last administration was unpredictable, at least in terms of as Iran and Russia and China and North Korea saw it. This generation is not only predictably passive, this generation that's in power, I should say this administration maybe, but they exude a sense of, I don't know, doubt about who they are and their origins, their values, their singularity in a country. So people, how does that translate on the ground, John? It means that if you're got an old case or 4 or 5 years over an eviction in Jerusalem, then that can be a flashpoint. You can send rockets because you feel that the United States will just, on the one hand, it's your fault. On the one other hand, it's that fault, your fault. They won't take sides. They won't sanction Iran. They'll try to give Iran, you know, normalcy, and they'll get, Iran will get a lot of money. Iran will now fund Hezbollah, and Hamas will get its $700 million from the United States via this corrupt UN agency. And so everybody in the street says to the Israelis, ha, 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 we've got the administration that allows us to do anything, and we're going to act on it and see what they do. And they did, and they're going to keep doing it until somebody stops it. And I don't, and they know that won't be the United States. In fact, we will try to restrain Israel. And so what I'm scared about is Israel may conclude that they have to have a preemptive strike in Tehran to stop what they now feel will be an inevitable bomb in 2 or 3 years, or they're going to have to really come down hard in a way that they wouldn't have had. And then all of this good progress that you mentioned with these Gulf regimes that were somewhat moderate, that were recognizing Israel under the Abraham Accords, why would they do that now, John? They would say, wait a minute, we don't think the United States is going to restrain Iran. They're going to empower Iran. And our Arab street now will get excited about the Palestinians again, and we've got to pander to them. So we're just going to pull out of this and turn on Israel. Now, we may privately tell the Israeli government, please take out the Iranians, and you can fly over our airspace. But publicly, we're going to side with the Arab street again. So we said to the 1.5 million people on the West Bank, you have veto power over what 600 million people in the Arab world feel about Israel in the Middle East.
And then there's China, Victor. Let us address the fact that China is now threatening Australia, threatening it directly. I believe the mention in Global Times was a ballistic missile attack on Australia if you keep pushing back and demanding an investigation for the origins of the virus that plagues the earth. It's very strange to watch Australia threatened. We both recall the facts that it was the threat to Australia that gave the energy to the Roosevelt administration in the Second War. We did not intend to lose the link to Australia, hence Coral Sea and all the other battles that turned the tide. And Australia is now threatened by China, but I don't hear, maybe they're speaking quietly, diplomatically, but I don't hear anybody in Washington saying you don't threaten our friends.
I think what happened, John, is that Donald Trump, for all of the unfair criticism that he is not a multilateralist or whatever the globalist critique was, he had actually gone to Japan, to Taiwan, to the Philippines via Mike Pompeo and Australia. And he said to all of our allies, we've got to be careful. And India, we've got to understand what China wants. They want you to bend. And we're here to help you. And that gate empowered these countries. So they began to talk back to the Chinese. And Australia was, you know, it's a huge, rich continent. It's only got about 35 million people. And now that's not there. So the Chinese are going to every one of these countries. In the case of Australia that you cited, they're saying to the Australians, you talked really tough just a year ago, but where's Donald Trump now? And if you keep provoking us, we could take a missile and take out one of your cities or land and do something. And you know what, Australians? I don't think anybody cares in Washington. And they're giving that same message to the Japanese, especially the Taiwanese and the South Koreans. They're saying to the South Koreans, you better bend and make necessary judgment. It reminds me so much of that period, 1939-40, but formalized in 40-41. Remember the greater Asian co-prosperity sphere where the Japanese said, England is a declining colonial power. The United States is isolationist. The Pacific Fleet is way over there in San Diego until we moved it to Pearl Harbor, which and exposed it. But they're saying these are dying colonial peoples. We're here. You're going to have to deal with us. And anybody who doesn't is going to pay a big price, whether you're in Indonesia or the job, whether it's in the East Indies. So it's very similar.
The common sense of Tulare's International Agri Center and the large questions about the Biden administration and trouble, big trouble overseas. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.